Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer.
Lugie.
It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call, as I am still basking in the glory and all the pageantry of my first ever championship ticker tape parade. I was unable to attend the Giant parades, their last two Super Bowl championships. So for teams I root for, this is my first opportunity to go to a parade, and I made damn sure I was there. Had a great seat for the City Hall ceremony. Got to be on Evan and Tiki's show, a little Evan and Tiki reunion. So I'm very appreciative of Evan and Teke and Sean and the architect and Ryan Hurley for allowing me to be a part of that, because it gave me a great seat for the parade. Got to watch it on the monitor, got to watch the ceremony, Alicia Keys perform Empire State of Mind, all the speeches. Speaking of the speeches, let me just say this. You can love him, you can hate him. I'm not talking about him as a politician. But just looking at Mamdani's speech, Mayor Mamdani's speech, it was great. It was delivered extremely well. A lot of passion. I love the references to the Tony Douglas and Jared Jeffries and on and on and on. He even went as far as mentioning Charles Oakley. Now, I know there's no love lost between the mayor and James Dolan, but still, to mention Charles Oakley at the parade with Dolan sitting 6 feet behind you is an interesting decision. But the speech was absolutely phenomenal. Again, you can agree with his policies, you cannot agree with his policies. I'm not here to debate that. Or I'm just saying the speech was outstanding. It was. What was not outstanding was the speeches that followed the mayor from the other politicians. I mean, they were just downright awful. Just the one fellow up there, he called Jalen Brunson Jalen Brown. Like, at that point, boo this man, get him off the stage, and let's move on. You called Jalen Brunson Jalen Brown. Now, look, I could get a little tongue-tied up here when I'm on 1 hour sleep and I'm doing a five-hour overnight, sitting here doing stand-up on a cruise ship, basically, so that you could get a little punch drunk. But come on, this is something you should have practiced. It's on a teleprompter, I would think. Whatever's on the prompter, Burgundy will read. So to screw that up is just unacceptable. But yeah, we heard from like seven. Like, the mayor's speech was awesome. It should have just lived there as the one speech we heard from any politician. And then we should have got to the team. We should have got to Dolan. And Dolan takes a jab at the mayor. I'm not up here for votes. I'm just, yeah, I have to laugh. Stuff like that, I laugh. I really do. And as far as when Dolan went up there to get his key to the city, it's possible he didn't realize he was supposed to take a picture with the mayor, or maybe he was trying to snub him. I don't know, nor do I care. I find all of it funny. I really do. I mean, people probably take that stuff too seriously, but I don't care in terms of whatever, picking sides. I just find it funny that he did that, whether he meant to do it or not do it. But he certainly meant to take a jab at him, for sure. But the speech was awesome, and it was the best speech we heard. I mean, Brunson's was great because it made me, as a Knicks fan, feel like this guy wants to win another championship and is going to win another championship. But, yeah, the mayor's speech was really, really good. A lot of great references, great delivery, great passion. He's obviously a really good speaker. Probably great, I would say, public speaker. Which is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Case in point, everybody that spoke after him. It's nerve-wracking. Yes, you're reading off a prompter. And again, whatever's on the prompter, Burgundy will read. All right, that's Bush League. I had ribs, that's why I'm doing this. But everybody else afterwards, quite frankly, wasn't very good. And they weren't going to live up to that, but they really didn't come that close. But that speech was awesome. And it felt like a Knicks fan talking up there. Yeah, this is something I would say. I'd bring up the ghosts of the past and how this team fought and... So I thought the speech was great. I thought it was well, just brilliantly delivered. And so hats off to him for that, for the speech. Let me make this crystal clear. The speech he gave about the Knicks at the parade, he did an amazing job. And bringing up Oakley certainly caused some, I mean, there was some Oakley chance, and I don't really want to get into this nonsense with Dolan and Oakley. If they ever want to get back on good terms, great. If they don't, they're two grown-ass men. If they can't come to terms on their disagreements, so to speak, through the years, then that's their business. I'm quite frankly exhausted by it. I just am. I'm a big fan of the way Charles Oakley played on a basketball court. I'm so beyond exhausted with their beef. I can't take it anymore. So if they want to bury the hatchet, I would, just because you don't want to go through life that way. I just don't think that's the way to go through. But I'm not going to tell somebody what to do necessarily. I just think, you know, they're both getting older, like, enough. But I'm exhausted by it personally. The whole thing with Oakley is just exhausting. So that's just my stance on it. And it sometimes, like, overshadows everything. I mean, Charles was good. He wasn't, like, an all-time player for them. And I think both sides at times have been in the wrong. So it's up to the two of them to just make amends and move on from this. But, yeah, Mayer's speech was really good. I didn't think the speeches after that were really good. Alicia Keys was amazing. How about Tyler Kolek? This is... So Tyler Kolek is along the parade route, inside the barricade, so not where all the fans are. He is running almost like a wrestler does when they come out for their entrance, and they're slapping fives with all the fans. Tyler Kolek is slapping five with all the fans. And the police officers thought Tyler Kolek was a fan. So they almost had him basically removed from that part of the inside of the barricade. And then I think somebody came over, either a coach or somebody on the staff, and they were like, Mr. Police Officer, Tyler Kolek. And to be fair, Tyler Kolek looks like the TikTok bros. I mean, he looks like every Knick fan that's on the Long Island Railroad going into a game to Madison Square Garden. That's just the way Tyler, he looks unassuming. It's like, oh, this guy's in the league? Oh, I guess he is. All right. It was an honest mistake, a funny mistake, and it got all over social media, and everybody had a lot of chuckles, including Tyler Kolek, I'm sure. Very funny. And I saw a bunch of funny stuff in these videos. I don't even know how to even describe them. One dude climbed all the way up to the top of a tree, which looked incredibly dangerous, but I guess that was his only way to see what was going on with the parade. But it's an insane viral video. I almost had to check it a few times to make sure it wasn't AI. And there was the twerking on the light poles. There was some other... I thought I saw one video of a guy sucking a girl's toes, which was interesting. I mean, whatever you do in your private life is fine, but you're going to do that in broad daylight? Only in New York City would that happen, and nobody would blink an eyelash. Oh, well, we're celebrating the first Knick championship in 53 years. Here is Jalen Brunson. Here is Clyde Frazier. Here is Spike Lee. Here is Rick Brunson. And here is a dude sucking on a woman's toes. Oh, okay, no biggie. It's just like a Tuesday afternoon around here. So nobody seemed to bat an eyelash on that one, but I was definitely laughing when I saw that video. I was like, what the heck? Not that there's anything wrong with that. If you like a good toe, you like a good toe. Who am I to tell anybody how to have their fun in life? But certainly an interesting activity to do during a parade. But like I said, that's kind of like a Wednesday afternoon in Lower Manhattan. You see that all the time. And then I saw something where people ordered food in the middle of all this mayhem, trying to watch the parade. How the heck they got the... First of all, when you order the food, where do you tell them you are? Oh, I'm somewhere between Fulton Street and Chambers Street. Just look for the person wearing Knick gear. Like, how do you describe where you are? You're one of millions of people decked out in Knick gear, and you're supposed to tell the Uber people, the Uber Eats, or whoever the delivery guy is, this is where I'm stationed to deliver me my pizza. But these are the things you see in New York, and that's what makes New York great. Because you know what? We're not going to sit out here for 4 hours. We're going to suck some toes, and we're going to eat some pizza. That's exactly what happened. Tremendous stuff. 888-808. And thankfully, the weather held off. No rain, no tornadoes, despite the fear-mongering of Paul Rosenberg on Evan and Tiki today as he tried to make everybody nervous, because that's what he does. No tornadoes, no rain, beautiful sunshine by the end of the parade. If anything, it was getting hot. I was starting to schwitz out there. Now, I'm a schwitzer. I know I'm a lean cuisine. I'm not, you know, not that sweating is necessarily attributed to your weight, but I'm by all accounts a relatively thin dude. But I'm a major schwitzer. And I was, my back was just starting to get soaked. And here's poor Evan. And I got to give Evan, I've given him a lot of grief. And we have a funny social media video clip out there at WFN660 on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, where, look, it's no secret. Evan is the leader of the Coalition of Nick Haters. I am Positive Tommy, a lead voice for the Nick fan here on this radio station. Some might call me a mascot, which I don't take as a slight, but hey, I pump up this basketball team. I love this basketball team. And obviously, Evan and I have had our differences because of where we stand. You know, we're almost on the different sides of the political spectrum when it comes to he hates the Knicks, I love him. And him and I have gone to several games. We've gone on the road trips to the games, and he's gotten the best of me sometimes. I've gotten the best of him. But today was my day. It wasn't his day. And we decided to film a video afterwards where I tried to get him to sing We Are the Champions. Now, I'm no Freddie Mercury, but neither is Evan. But we, you know, I figured we'd do our best. And he didn't really want to partake in it. But I don't want to give away all of it. It's out there at WFN 660. Okay. I said that about Evan. Now let me say something nice about him. And I really was... We like to poke fun at each other. That's part of WFAN. It's part of the locker room culture around here as we break goyuns. If you're going to be able to deliver a punch, you got to be able to take a punch, a verbal one. That's just the way it goes. Evan certainly will take his punches, whether it's bringing up old tweets that make you look bad or old audio clips to make you look bad. Now, to be fair, he brings up good stuff too to make you look good, but he does bring up bad stuff as well. It's no secret that Evan Roberts is in his 40s and he's never seen his team win a championship. And as happy as I was today, and as, you know, happy as I was to see him at that parade, because he does hate the team, and I think it makes for good content, and there is a slight part of me that does like a little bit of the fan suffering. You know, I'm going to be happy, but you're going to suffer, so it's going to make me feel a little bit better, which is, it's not the greatest way to be, but that's, a lot of us are wired that way. But I got to be honest with you. I'm sitting there, and it's 1:30 in the afternoon. Evan got there at 4 in the morning at City Hall. 4 in the morning! I mean, it was him and the Pigeons at that point. There's nobody else there. For Evan to sit there for 6 hours before he ever turned on a microphone for a team that he despises when he has never seen a championship for any of his teams, and he's now been at parades for the Yankees, Giants, and the worst one of all, the Knicks. He then had to do a 4-hour radio show where I'm sitting there with a grin from ear to ear. Tiki, who... I love Tiki. As much as I could say, I just love the guy. Because I've never seen this before, what Tiki did today. And if you watched on YouTube, you saw it. And I think Evan did a pretty decent job of describing it. But a million things were going on. So I don't know if he was completely locked in on it and told the audience what was going on. But Tiki Barber is obviously famous. That goes without saying. You know, Eddie Scazzeri, who I adore, as you know. And Eddie retired a couple weeks ago. But Eddie, he had a lot of great lines. Some of them I can't say on the radio, but this one I can. When I was working on Boomer and Carton, he had a line where he said, this show could end tomorrow, and Boomer would walk out of here, and he'd still be Boomer. The rest of us would just be a bunch of schmucks without a job. And he's right. That's the reality of it. Same thing with Tiki. Tiki is famous with or without this place. The rest of us need this place to be famous. We need WFAN, obviously. But Tiki doesn't, and Boomer doesn't. So Tiki's standing there. Obviously, everybody recognizes him. So we are in a position where we are stationed where there's a lot of people walking past us. So we're doing the show. We're standing up because Evan's got the bad back. And Tiki is literally doing the show with Evan. And simultaneously, he's taking pictures with people. So, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. And Jose Alvarado and Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns and da-da-da-da. Picture take. No. Takes another picture. Oh, you know, Leon Rose has done an amazing job. Takes another picture. So he is the only host I've ever seen do a radio show while at the same time he's taking pictures with people in the audience. and not even skipping a beat. I'm telling you, people a lot less famous than Tiki and would not be that nice in that spot, believe me. He can't be any nicer and more gracious. That's just the kind of person he is. I can't say enough great things about him. He's just, he doesn't, I think at times, realize that he's the Giants' all-time leading rusher. I'm like, Tiki, you don't have to do all this stuff. You can tell people you're on the air. I think they'd understand. But take a picture, talk, take a picture. Super gracious. And I think that matters to the people that walk by because they have a lasting memory of meeting Tiki. And they're like, oh, he's like an awesome dude. That matters. Stuff like that definitely. Now, let me make this as abundantly clear as I can, and then we'll get to your calls here in 1 second. I am not even a pimple on the fanny of Tiki in terms of fame compared to him, but people do recognize me. Bunch of people recognize me today at some of the local establishments. We were just chilling and things of that nature or on the streets. I try to be overly nice because I want those people to just have a great impression of me. Not that I'm being fake, but I want to go out of my way to give them a good experience. Because for me, it's, oh yeah, you know, again, nothing close to Tiki. But especially year after year, I do get recognized more. And for me, it's okay, somebody else recognizes me. But for that person, they get to meet me, that's cool for them. And by the way, when you recognize me in public, I can't tell you how much that means to me. Not even for an ego thing, but that's just like the coolest thing ever. Somebody recognizes me? All I could think of is I wish I was single, because that'd be a great thing to brag about. It's like, I tell my wife that, she could give two you-know-whats. She's like, really? Who cares? I'm like, great. So I can't really use that as a chip. But I wish I could. If I was single, I could. Because girls at the bar would see other guys recognizing me, and your boy's stock would rise. That's just the way it works. Unfortunately, that's not the case. But I try to go out of my way to be super nice. Because I greatly appreciate it, and I want you to have a cool experience where you go, yeah, that Lou Gowrie, he's a cool dude. He lived up to what we thought he was on the air. Because that's what you hear here is what I am off the air. I might not be as loud, but it's the same guy. You know, the same things I say here, my interests, all that stuff, it translates off the air. Let's head out to Eric in Parsippany here on After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Eric, what's going on?
Tommy, great to catch up with you again.
Yeah, likewise, bro. What's
up? You were great with Evan and Tiki today.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping I lived up to the. I was on 1 hour sleep. I tried to do my best to just, you know, to speak for the Nick fan, give him a voice. So I was like, all right, I hope I'm doing a great job here. So I appreciate you saying that.
All right, Tommy, a few things. Four new nicknames for you: Tommy Taste, Tommy No Sleep.
Tommy No, I love it.
I mean, you know, like Tommy Tough Jaw. You're taking punches, coming back.
No doubt.
Love it.
How about Tommy Ticker Tape?
And the Schwitzer. Tommy the Schwitzer.
The Schwitzer. So we got Tommy the Schwitzer. They call me Tommy the Schwitzer. They call me Tommy.
You sweat it out, but you're taking punches.
No doubt. I not only take the punches, I schwitz on the back, and I live to see another day. And I also do like Tommy Ticker Tape. I think that should absolutely be my nickname.
Tommy Ticker Tape.
Yeah, because you know why? I'm trying to bring Ticker Tape parades to this city. So I actually think that one is a great one.
The cardiac kids, too. Yeah. A little ticker, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
All right, so I want to go over a few things with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was my birthday on Saturday.
Happy
birthday. We're in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
When the Knicks won the chip.
How great is that, by the way? How epic is that? That's honestly as great as it gets. You get to celebrate your birthday and a Knick championship. That is perfect.
With all my homies.
Awesome.
I got 5 years now on you. I'm 46.
Beautiful.
So we're at a bar in Brooklyn. That goes down, and it's just chaos. And then I know you're a house music fan. Danny Tenaglia is playing Pasha opening. He literally rips through his set. Right when the Knicks win the chip, he goes Sinatra. Like, the whole crowd, they bought the Mirage now. It's just... It was perfect.
Right. So Brooklyn Mirage is now rebranded as Pacha. Yes. So it's no longer here on the West Side. That Brooklyn Mirage location I've been to a few times. Awesome location. So I'm just telling you right now, I'm getting my ass over there at some point. That I could guarantee you. And Danny Tenaglia, obviously a legend, especially a New York legend as far as spinning.
Exactly.
Yep. Tremendous.
And the way he timed it was perfect.
Yep. Beautiful.
So let me talk parade with you.
Mm-hmm.
So my buddy got there at 1 a.m. this morning, first in row with his friends.
What like, time did they get there? 1 a.m.? Yeah, I'll buy that.
He got there at 1 a.m.
Crazy.
Parade started at 10, right? Like, amazing. You know, it's just the best. And I'm so happy for Beningo and the, you know, the Smoozer, you know, the Tokis, we got the Spitza. Like, it's just, I mean, you know, it's like, it's just the city's electric and everybody needs this. And Ewing and like the whole crew and like, you know, like diehard Knicks fan for me, like since I was 8, you know? And Tommy, it's electric, buddy.
Yep, absolutely.
Mondani's speech was great.
It
too.
Was great.
Like, you know,
it was great. And I look, like, I always tread lightly because people Mondani's just get so annoyed with the stuff. But Mondani was, I thought, awesome. Look, you say what you want about him, and we don't have to say what we want about him. But
exactly,
he is a great public speaker, and he delivered an awesome speech.
He literally went through the whole history of the Knicks.
Yeah,
like we're talking, like, you know, people just like guys that were like a Knicks for a couple of years, like for like a, you know, cup of coffee.
Yep.
And it was just...
I thought it was a great touch. I really did. I thought it was a great way to honor not only the good, but the bad history of this team, which is a part of the history and a part of what makes this championship so great because we lived through a lot of the stuff that he talked about. So I thought he did it... Now, maybe some of the timeline was off a little bit, meaning he was out of order, but who cares? At the end of the day, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's no, you know, he's no Francesa.
Yeah, Mike would have had it perfectly as far as the timeline goes.
I mean, you know, come on, he's a little off there. But
he was there for every game, too, by the way. Just ask.
Oh, of course. Then, Tommy, the speeches after that were just, like, underwhelming. It was like, what's going on?
Awful. They were so bad.
Like, what are you doing? Like, get off.
Well, some of those people, and no disrespect to them, I'm not sure why the heck they were even up there giving speeches. And then, Dolan's speech was what it was. Jalen, I thought, did a good one, but nothing spectacular. Leon Rose, you understand why they don't have him speak that much. He's not the greatest public speaker, but that's
fine. Well, he's in the shadows. He's in the shadows.
Yeah, and he's unbelievable at his job, so he doesn't have to be up there being, you know, a great speaker or anything like that. So I'm cool with that.
But how about Alvarado? I mean, he was like cheesing, he was sweating, like Alicia Keys. Like,
he was sweating her. I mean, I don't want to blow up his spot, but he was definitely sweating her. He looked like a guy that was like, hey, Alicia, you know, notice me, which I respect the game. I mean, listen, you get an opportunity to just be around Alicia Keys, you got to take advantage of it. You got to throw a little bit of scent her way. I'm all for that.
Exactly. You know, how about Tyler Kolek? He's like, you know, he's just sitting in there. Like, this guy plays for the Knicks. Like,
yeah, they almost put him in put him in cuffs. I'm obviously exaggerating, but he was like, they thought he was a TikTok bro, like hanging out. It's like, no, he actually plays for the team.
They were gonna take him to the drunk tank for a minute. It's like, what are you doing? This guy's on the Knicks.
Exactly. Yeah, he was about to go in the tin. I'm like, no, he's a Knick. He's allowed to hang out inside the barricade.
And I just love chatting with you. Yeah. I mean, the Knicks run the city. The Knicks are champs. And it's just a blessing, bro.
Absolutely. And once again, a happy belated birthday. And you're not the first to bring up Pacha now where Brooklyn Mirage used to be. And Pacha was a big-time famous. I kind of call it an underground club. I don't think that's the fairest representation of it. But it was in my viewpoint, a historic place here on the West Side. Some of the greats ever DJed there. It did close down now several years ago, and it is now back in the location, not here in Manhattan, but in Brooklyn. I will definitely be out there at some point. I'd like to even get out there this summer, if possible, for sure. Number one, I love that location, the Brooklyn Mirage location, and you slap Pacha on it, and I'm there. But you brought up Steve, what is it, with the Tukas, with the parade, with the Schwitzing, with the Tommy Lugauer already, with the Jose Alvarado, with the Mondani, with the Oakley, with the Dolan, what is it, with the beads of sweat, with the Tukas, with the Schwitzing, I am a Schwitzer, we're all Schwitzing, what? And Beningo, and I kept saying this line to Evan and he was laughing, but you just know Joe is going to say this. The next time Joe is, because Joe is just on cloud nine here, you know the next time Joe is on the air, because he never thought he was going to see a championship. And you know how much he wants to see, especially a Jet one. I could just see Joe being like, bro, Ev, do me the favor, bro. When the Jets finally win a Super Bowl, I'll be long dead. Just do me the favor, bro. Bring my ashes to the parade, all right, bro? And just sprinkle them down the Canyon of Heroes, bro. Dad, can you do that for me? I mean, can you do that? Can you just hear Joe saying that? Bring my ashes to the parade, bro. I'll be long gone by the time that freaking disaster franchise wins. Well, you know what? It's weird. I must be in just cloud nine. I'm trying to think of like the euphoric sort of mindset here. I am something. There's a part of me, as Positive Tommy that wants to will, and this is as a Giant fan, I want to will the Jets to a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. I know it's crazy. Believe me. And when I say couple, I mean like five. I want to do it. I do. I really do. Because I think if they get the quarterback, I want the Jet fan to get the taste. Because maybe that's what it is. As a Nick fan, I sat through the suffering, 53 years for some, a lifetime for others. And now, and look, you know how I feel about the Mets. But the Jets, there's just a part, and I haven't gone all the way with it yet, but I kind of want to. The problem, though, that I run into is when you go out on the limb for the Jets, the limb breaks. That's the problem. That's the problem that you run into. And the thing is, I need to see the quarterback first. I think Klubnik is a stiff. And I say that respectfully. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I don't think he's very good. And the Jets traded up for him, which I would argue vehemently against. Prove me wrong. If he ends up being great, awesome. The Jets are going to be in an awesome spot. But I don't think he's very good. And he certainly didn't show that in his last year at Clemson. He did show that in his last year at Clemson. He went backwards. We'll see. I'm not high on him, but I do think the Jets, if they get that quarterback, I will start to get very optimistic about that franchise. But it's about the Knicks right now, and it's about this wonderful parade that we experienced today. Let's go to limo driver Ed here on The Fan. What's up, limo driver? Well, listen. Yeah, no, I thought it was a yes. I did. I thought it was an unbelievable time, limo. And for those that were out there, and the NYPD estimated about 2 million were at the parade. And that number is a little below my projection. Here's why I think the number was, and again, projection and estimation. I projected 3 to 5 million based on 53 years for some, a lifetime for others. It's the team that unifies the city. We haven't had a ticker tape parade in a very long time. I think people are itching for that type of party. With the social media and the media in general has grown so much since the last parade, I figured every person that has a podcast and a YouTube channel and TikTok and Instagram would be trying to get out there clout chasing or a farming or just trying to grow their business, which nothing wrong with that. Especially if they do it on the up and up in the respectful way. I have no issue with that. So to hear 2 million, it makes me think a lot of people couldn't get in, and they're, because I know people that could not get in and they ended up going to bars to watch it. And if I know a few, you probably know a few. The next guy knows a few. We all know a few. Before you know it, it's 1 million people. And I think a lot of people were scared off by the crowds, by the fact that you had to get there at 1, 2 in the morning just to get a great seat. And they were like, you know what? I'll watch it on TV. They pulled the Tommy Lugauer when it comes to going to games. Because there's plenty of times where someone's like, hey, you want to go to the Met game? And I'm like, there's no traffic from my couch to the bed. And I love the Mets. And certainly if you pay for the tickets, it'll sweeten the pot for me to go. But it's the commute back. It's everybody like sardines being thrown onto the 7-line train. When I 6 years ago, if I sneezed, I would be reported somewhere. You know what I mean? I'd have to fill out paperwork because I sneezed. Now I could be in a subway car with 7 billion people in it and nobody seems to care. Okay, whatever. But the bottom line is I don't really like being packed like sardines. Not because I'm worried about getting sick, but because it's uncomfortable. And it's just not fun for me, the commute. So maybe for a lot of people, they're like, I'd love to be at the parade. I'd love to have a great seat. It's just not worth me getting 20 minutes of sleep, which is basically what I got. Now, I'm in the media, so I had access to something that a lot of people don't have access to, but I still had to get there by 8 o'clock, and that was a race against time. I essentially slept for an hour and change and got right back on the railroad, and the subways were a mess, and everything was packed, and roads were closed, and luckily, I had the pass, and a couple of the police officers recognized me, and it was made it easier for me to find City Hall. There's not exactly a big sign that says City Hall. You know, it's not Disney World. You know, it's not like 25 miles to City Hall. You just find it. But luckily, I was able to find it with the help of our great men and women police officers. That could be people, though. They hate. I don't want to deal with the nonsense. I don't want to deal with the crowds. And the hype of it scared some people off. Maybe the weather scared a couple people off. And between all three of those things, 1 million plus stayed home or couldn't get in. And that's where you'd get your over 3 million, which is my projection, 3 to 5 million. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you are on hold right now, we will get to you. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can. And the phone number to do that is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. We'll continue to show our love and support for our beloved Knicks. We'll talk parade. We'll talk everything that you may have experienced today, if you had gone to the parade or if you didn't and maybe now you regret it. Some of your thoughts on the speeches, on Alicia Keys' performance, whatever. All the pageantry that existed and surrounded this wonderful New York City event. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie the Late Night here on The Fan. 12:36 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As we tie a bow on this perfect Knicks season, a perfect way to cap this perfect season with a wonderful parade and celebration that culminated at City Hall right around 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the party did not stop. You know, I was out all day when I was walking back here for the shift. Plenty of people in Knick gear, plenty of people enjoying themselves out on the town, just really taking in everything that New York City has to offer and repping the Knicks. It was just an awesome sight to see. So, what's on the horizon? I think next week, this weekend, we party, we celebrate. I think next week, slowly, we can start to think about, because when you win a championship, the offseason comes on you real fast. Draft, free agency, the idea of repeating. Those will all be topics that we will cover starting next week. Because I know how Knick fans are. And look, that doesn't mean we still can't reflect and enjoy. And if you want to just really stay in that moment, I'm totally cool with that. We can continue to do that. We could do that from now till forever, as far as I'm concerned. I'll sit here and take your I love the Knick calls forever. I'm absolutely happy to do that. But I know how we are as sports fans, and I totally get it. I'm that way. We want to start thinking about next year and defending our crown. It was awesome to win. It'll be even more awesome to defend the crown. That'll be a real... The national media won't know what to do with themselves. So we'll kind of pivot there next week. But for now, it's all about the celebration. And if you were able to attend the parade today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It was my first ever ticker tape parade. I wasn't able to attend the giant ones, the two that Eli won, but I was able to attend today. And it was a real incredible, surreal moment for me, not only as sports talk host, which I was able to hang with Evan and Tiki and be the third voice on the show. And I thank Sean Marash for being gracious enough to hang out at the studio back here at the shop and allow me to be there. For Evan, for Tiki, for being gracious enough to have me on the show, the architect, Hurley, everybody. So thank you to them and really this whole run. To look at it in a little bit of a personal way, I have been on the radio really almost every step of the way for this Knick championship. With the positivity, with all the great Knick stuff here that we provide here on After Hours in terms of content. And all of that emotion that we have heard throughout this run and the tears of joy and the tears of happiness and some tears of sadness for loved ones that are no longer with us that you wish were here. And I know the mayor brought that up in his speech about wishing loved ones were still here to enjoy this. And I know everybody that experienced this was thinking about someone in their lives that is no longer around that was a Knick fan and how much they would have enjoyed this. But that's what sports are all about. Family. Camaraderie. Friendship. It brings us together. We laugh together. We cry together. We celebrate together. You saw it in the streets. I mean, the footage and the content and the celebrations for this championship run were epic. Epic. Rosenberg, who's usually good for nothing, Paulie showed me a video of a bar in Brooklyn, outdoor spot. I think it's a barbecue joint. And it was insane. I forgot which game it was. It might have been game two, I think. I believe it was game two. And it was electric. just everybody showed up, they showed out, and the city unified for this team that hasn't won a championship in 53 years, a group that you can get behind, you could support, because they got a lot of guys that have grit and heart and work hard and underappreciated overachievers. So really from the beginning of this run, starting with Atlanta, finishing up last Saturday in San Antonio, was a run of a lifetime. The next one they have, because I'm confident they're going to have it, is going to be different. There probably will be some ups and downs. This one, there wasn't. We were treated to a very, very, very extraordinary set of circumstances in the sense that this team either boat raced their opponents or battled back from 29 points down, 22 points down, 27 points down. Double-digit deficits in every game against San Antonio. It was one of the rare times as a sports fan, at least the way I feel. Now, I know everybody's not wired like I am, but I was watching these games and I had the utmost confidence that they were going to win every single game because they proved it to me night in and night out that no matter what, they were going to win. They could go down 40 in the first quarter and I'd be like, okay, they got the opponent right where they want them. And they just put on an unbelievable performance for all of us. And that's the way to end a 53-year drought. To win it the way they did it. Because when you look back on this run, and I know there are some that had the agita and anxiety, and I hate hearing that because I feel like this run should have been so enjoyable. And if you can't enjoy this run, what run are you going to enjoy? They lost three games. So unless you are the type of fan that you got to win every single game and all of them by 60 to not sit there and have a little bit of anxiety, then I don't know what to tell you, because this was as bad as, I guess there's no other word to say it, easy run that you'll ever see. And that has nothing to do with their opponent. It's just the Knicks were just, they finally gelled and became this great team. I mean, the first half lead they had against Atlanta in the clincher in game six, the decisive game four victory against Philly, the 22-point comeback in game one against the Cavs, the decisive victory in game four against Cleveland. They led the entire way in game three against Cleveland. The comebacks against the Spurs, all the double-digit road victories, on and on and on and on. That's not a run-of-the-mill, you see this every year type of championship. That is something very, very, very unique, quite extraordinary, and very special. So not only did we get treated to an amazing group of players here with an awesome run and a championship, but we just got to be so excited as fans. That 22-point comeback and the 29-point comeback are all-timers. Both of them at the Mecca, both at the Cathedral of Basketball. And this Knick team, they embody everything. Geez, I sound like the mayor up here. Maybe he listens to the show because his speech sounds like a positive Tommy type of speech if I'm being, you know, if I take a little credit for it. Literally, I'm listening to this going, this is from the positive Tommy playbook. So perhaps one of his, and yes, he doesn't write his speeches. Basically, no politicians write their speeches, okay? A positive Tommy writes his speeches, but I don't need writers. I just goes off the dome. But it's about the delivery. That's the deal. But he sounded like positive Tommy up there. So maybe perhaps he's a fan of After Hours or somebody in his writing staff is a fan of After Hours, because that sounded literally like me, everything he said there. But he was spot on. And this team fought and fought and fought, and they still got a lot of fight in them. If you think the fight is gone with this group, you will be sadly mistaken. Let's go to Dave in Waterbury here on After Hours. What's up, Dave?
Hi, Tommy. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, dude?
I got 2 points. First of all, yep. do you think Cat should have spoken by the parade?
Should have? No, but if he had spoken, that would have been cool to hear from him by a couple minutes. The thing is, you don't want this to turn into, Dave, a situation where it's, you know, 9 hours long and we're passing the microphone around. Yeah, here's what I would say. I would have much rather have heard from Carl Anthony Towns than one of these politicians that were up there, you know, hemming and hawing and couldn't get through a sentence, and they just kind of called Jalen Brunson Jalen Brown. Yeah, I'd rather hear from Carl Anthony Towns than that, than a politician, but I don't think it was necessary, all things equal.
What about Alvarado? He's a New York kid.
Yeah.
You know, the kids there.
Yeah, and I love Jose Alvarado. This is not a slight against him, but you want your kind of your major players there. Cat, you can make the argument for. He's the only guy, player-wise, that didn't speak that I think you can make the argument for. And again, I'd much rather hear from him than one of these politicians. If the politicians had great speeches, then it's like a best man speech. This is the way I operate with best man. And by the way, your boy is unbelievable at best man speeches, which is really no surprise. I mean, I talk for a living on the radio. So if I can talk on the radio, I think I could talk about a dear friend of mine for 3 minutes in front of a bunch of people. Sometimes it even goes longer, which brings me to my point. When it comes to speeches at weddings, I always have this take. As long as they're good, I don't have a real issue with the length of the speech. If you give me an entertaining, funny, poignant, heartfelt, emotional, all those things wrapped into one, and it goes 5 minutes, I'm not going to notice it's 5 minutes. But when you're nervous, and there's nothing you can do about it, it's tough. I mean, you're born as a, I believe that. You are born to be a public speaker. You don't, I know you could take public speaking courses. You have it in you. It is something that you were born with to be a great public speaker. You can craft that, but if you don't have that ability and you're nervous to speak in front of people, you're not getting over that. You're just not, and if you're not funny, and it's tough. What makes great public speakers is that they have great energy, they mix in humor, they're great storytellers. You don't learn that stuff. You can get better, but you have to have the baseline stuff in order to be able to do that. So when somebody's up there and they're visibly nervous, the speech is bad, the jokes aren't landing, it's like, all right, get in and get out. Make it a minute, 2 minutes, say that she's the best big sister ever, hug her, and get the hell out of there, please. I'd like to get to the dancing portion of this party. But if you're delivering a great speech, like the mayor did today, I think he went about 10 minutes. I didn't notice it, because it was awesome. If you give me a great speech and I am engaged to the utmost, then I don't care about length. I really don't. But the other politicians, I mean, and thankfully they weren't very long. They were quick, but they were awful. Just being real. They stunk. So it was a waste of time. And nobody cared. It's like, we heard from our mayor. Let's move on and hear from our basketball team. The people we came here to see. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Loogie, how you doing,
yo,
man?
What's up?
Hey, so first time talking to you since the night of. You know, you talked about the euphoria, the out-of-body, so just straight up now. I'm actually thrilled for you, too, bro, the fact that you and Gallo actually got to, like, be on the air for it.
Thank you.
It's funny enough, I was, you know, went down an FAN rabbit hole. Me and Evan Roberts, probably the only two that ever do that. And I found the clip. We referenced Boomer and Carton before, and I saw the clip of, you remember when Craig had the pee cup with,
yeah,
with
the urine test that they had.
Yeah. I'm just bringing that up, like how far you've come, and like now you got your own show, bro. And the fact that you were on the air for the drought to end is pretty cool. That's like how,
yeah, that thing with Al's urine is one of the most memorable things I've ever done here prior to me being on the air now full time. Like, people still reference that, which it's great. I mean, it's something that I'm a part of here at the radio station. It was very funny. And yeah, it's a long way to go from walking around holding a cup of that to now being the guy on the air when the Knicks win their first championship in 53 years. So I appreciate
some
bringing that up.
Meant to be, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. It just tells you sometimes you're you work your way up the ladder. And much like a Jalen Brunson, so to speak, and you become a champion one day. And on Saturday night, I felt like a champion.
Team.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll use the word you just used. You embodied what this roster embodied. You went from holding Al Dukes' cup of piss to being on the air for the end of the draft.
Correct.
I'll get in the side. You know, I was one of the many people that did duck the parade, but I'll say this. I think I'm kind of like you said, I'm right, you know, I'm in my house. I don't have to sweat out the commute home. I'm under 21, so I wouldn't really even be able to go to any of the spots afterward, even though I kind of want to go searching for some new spots, but I'm a year and a half away from that. But the one big fear for me was, well, two, A, that I wouldn't get in, B, that once, you know, in my specific spot, once all the carts and everything left, I wouldn't be able to see anything. I mean, I had you guys on the Roku who had the SNY coverage was brilliant. They showed everything. Yeah. And it's one of those things, like, you know, I heard even the afternoon show was talking about it, kind of like a now what type of spot, you know? Like, you had the parade, the celebration, everything. But I think it's one of those now that once you live it, because you got to think, bro, this is my first ring ever, any of my teams. Once you live it and you see the parade, it's something that you have to see for yourself to be able to explain. Like, I look at this roster now, bro, kind of another Evan Roberts type thing I do. When I was little, you know how, like, on Wikipedia, they have the box, like, the basic info for, like famous people, yeah. athletes. They'll put, like, all-stars, championships.
Yep.
What I'd always Superlative. Do after yeah. championships. Awards. Yeah, right. So what I'd always do after championships was I'd go down each player's Wikipedia and wait for it to refresh to see NBA champion in parentheses for us 2026. And seeing, you know, Brunson, Cat, OG, all these same names that we'd seen for the last couple of years on box scores.
Now, Ross, I assume, I love you, but I assume before yeah. you do that, you try to go on a date, I would imagine. I'm teasing with you, but yeah, I mean, that's, you were perfect in your comparison to Evan there, because I believe you and Evan are the only two people the only two people on the planet that would do such exercise. Literally refreshing a player's Wikipedia page to see NBA champion. Yes, that's definitely from the Evan Roberts, Ross and Bergen County playbook. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Positive Tommy, Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. Let's go to Neil in the Bronx. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's up, Loogie? How you doing?
Great, great. Good to hear from you, Neil.
Hey, I didn't go to the parade myself because I don't like crowds.
I understand that. I respect that.
You were there and you predicted, you said around 3 million and above.
Yes.
How many people do you think, or did they estimate?
So they estimated. The NYPD estimated 2 million.
2 million, okay. That's a pretty good call. When you're going to millions, that's a pretty good call.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that a lot of people, and we've heard from, I mean, I know a lot of people that were turned away, couldn't get in. So I don't think they count towards the 2 million. I think they got about 3 million.
I heard about that.
I think all in all, there was about 3 million, but they didn't all get in.
Yeah, something about the cops finally decided that, I guess it was getting too much for 10,000
So they started limiting the crowds. They started limiting the subway stops. You couldn't get off of Chamber Street, so I had to get off at a different stop. So I think they curtailed the number a little bit. So I think they would have been north of 3 million if they didn't do that. And I'm not knocking the police officers for doing that. That's their decision. But I'm just saying I think the number would have been higher.
Yeah. What about that thing with the 33? Somebody had a 33 jersey.
Yeah, so that's on. Yeah, that's City Hall. I mean, that's somebody that doesn't know a thing about basketball. So Dylan Jones is a two-way player, and they put up his name because they had everybody's jersey up there, or like a banner of their jersey, and they had Dylan Jones up there with 33, which obviously is Patrick's number, which is a big faux pas. I don't know why they did that. I mean, he doesn't even wear 33. So that was one of those things that was just a massive oversight by whoever put that up there. Obviously, whoever did it at City Hall. And I wish somebody would have noticed it, because it just added some fodder for the coalition indicators. I'm not, like, to the moon aggravated by it. I'm not going to allow something like that to bother me when my team just won a championship. I'm sorry. I am not wired that way. Thankfully. The Knicks just won a championship for the first time in 53 years. I'm at the first ticker tape parade of my life. I'm getting to also be on WFAN during it. You think I'm going to go like crazy and start screaming and yelling about something like that? I'm not. And I'm not going to put on a show for you just because to do it. So that's you're not getting that out of me, because I don't care that much. I care about the championship. And I think most Knicks fans care about the championship, but the coalition wants to rain on the parade. So they see something like that and they're like, oh, nice. We have an opportunity here to mock. You can mock all you want. The Knicks are the champions. So mock away. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you're on hold, we will get to you if you want to join the conversation. That's the number to call. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Jazz Chisholm had a rough night. And I think we all as men can sympathize with Jazz. He took a foul ball off his Goyuns. And it was so bad that he fell to the floor. I mean, that's going to ruin your weekend. I mean, that if he had any Saturday night plans, those are now out the window. And I know Jazz was partying up at Brunson's, the Knicks celebration. So Jazz gets around. He likes his nightlife, which I can respect here on After Hours. But when you take a baseball to the junk, you're probably going to have to cancel your social plans for at least a week. And Aaron Boone didn't really provide an update because there is no update. He got hit in an area that, as a man that you don't want to get hit in, and you're going to have to sit around for a week or two. And like I said, cancel all your dates. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Lugie in the late night here on The Fan.